Okay, so we're going to begin. Last week, towards the end, we went through the Shaklatari. I'll just to go, just recap or just run through very quickly the new topic that we're doing, which is Tanai Be'ones, or Tanai Beget, really, but also Tanai Be'ones. And I'm not sure if we'll get through all the Mar Makomos, but we'll do what we can for some of them, right? Okay. So the Gemara here had previously said that if a person, the target date for getting married, the target date for getting married is on a Wednesday, right? Yom Ravi, that's the Mishnah. And we discussed various aspects of that. Then the Mishnah says, then the Gemara discusses what happens if for, because of extenuating circumstances, he's not able to get married on a Wednesday, right? Because normally the rule is that higia zman v'lo nisu, this is what we were discussing the last two shiurim, right? If the calendar date scheduled wedding, the scheduled date of the wedding is reached, so if he doesn't go through with the wedding, so the rule is he's obligated to provide mizonos, right? Ochlos mishalo, va'ochlos betruma, even truma. So the question is, if you're supposed to get married on a Wednesday, and the calendar date comes out on a Monday, or some other day but a Wednesday, so does this rule that he has to provide mizonos apply or not? Or since there are extenuating circumstances, namely the chachamim are tying his hands, they won't let him get married until Wednesday, so he should be pot. Or what happens if he's a chola, right, he's sick, or what happens if she's a chola, and so on and so forth. What happens under all these conditions where it's not that he's running away or shirking his responsibility, but there are good objective reasons why they can't get married on a Wednesday? Does the rule that he is obligated to begin providing mizonos, does that apply or not? And that's the Gemara's discussion. So then as a continuation, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, this is in the middle of base, l'inin gitin enochein. Even though it seems like we conclude that if he cannot get married on a Wednesday, for whatever good reason, that he doesn't have to provide mizonos, meaning the factor of onus, the factor of some sort of accident or uncontrolled factor, right, that intervenes or intercedes, not allowing him to fulfill his obligation, the fact that that is recognized in the Higiyas Man V'lo Nisu is one thing, but when it comes to Gittin, as we'll explain in a moment, if a person made a condition, right, here's a get, here's a divorce, right, if I don't show up within 30 days, and he doesn't show up because he's sick, or he doesn't show up because the bridge fell down, right, so under those conditions, what will you say? Technically, informally, he didn't show up, therefore the get should be implemented. Or do we care that there were extenuating circumstances, that it was an onus, that's why he didn't show up? Do we care why he didn't show up, or we just care that he didn't show up? So the Gemara seems to be saying that even though when it comes to Higia Zman V'lo Nisu, onus matters, when it comes to a Tanai Begitin, onus doesn't matter. We don't care why, we care that. And that here is fulfilled, not unfulfilled. That's the Gemara says, when it says, the Gemara means, when it says, Amarava, Ein Ones Begitin. When it comes to Gittin and a Tanai, we don't care that the reason you didn't fulfill it or the reason you did fulfill it, we'll discuss that too, was an Ones. So the Gemara says, Minar Le Rava, how do we know this? Not so obvious, right? It's an open, objective question. If I asked anybody around, if I asked a table, or a room full of people this question, somebody made a condition, right, in all good faith, and he wasn't able to implement the condition, not because of negligence, and not because the conditions really were met, but because of some accident that prevented him. So is he held liable, right, to the condition that he made? Because the fact is that the circumstances were unfolding the way they were. Or do we care, do we say that, since it's not his fault, that's an extenuating circumstance or an excuse? So I think 50% of the people would have said one thing, and 50% of the people would say another thing. It's not obvious that yesh ones or ain ones, right? It's an open question. So that's why the Gemara says, you need a source. We need to know where this comes from. So the Gemara says, Ilei memi ha-ditznan, it's a Mishnah on Gittin. It says, or is it Gittin from Abasi, Mikan vad shnei masar chodesh. Here's a get. If I don't show up in 12 months, then this should be a get. Umeis betochi beis chodesh, and he doesn't show up. But the reason he doesn't show up is because he dies. So the rule is that eino get. The get is not chal. Why? He didn't say me'achshav. It'll start, now, retroactively, from this moment. He's saying, after 12 months, the get should be effective. But after 12 months, there's no longer a marriage, there's no longer a husband, because he died within 12 months. So that's the rule of me'su de'eno get, ha'chala ha'reza get. Right? Maybe when he dies, there's no get. That's because ein get la'achar misa. But there are two elements in mace. One is ein get la'achar misa. The other is onus. But if it wasn't ein get la'achar misa, wouldn't we say that since it was mace, right, it wouldn't make a difference? It would be a get. So, which then translate into the same conclusion when there's no problem of ein get la'achar misa, but there's still an onus. Namely, a less dramatic onus like chala. So if he's sick, and that's why he can't show up after a year, right, we shouldn't care. We should care that he didn't show up, not why he didn't show up. So the Gemara says, no, that's not very good proof, because v'dilma li'ola me'melecha chala nami, if he was ill, that would also be reason not to implement the get. In other words, extenuating circumstances would matter. But the reason that we emphasize the part about him dying is because we want to understand that it's a different halacha, and that is that ain't get la'achar misa. The reason that there's no get is not because we consider the condition to be the equivalent of unfulfilled, but rather because in principle there can't be a get once there is a death that precedes it. So the Gemara says, ain't get la'achar misa hatani la'resha. That doesn't seem likely because we have another source for the din of Enget Lachar Misa. Mishnah says, Hareza Gitech in Mesi. Guy says, if I die, here's a get. What's the point? Point is that this way, especially for the case where there's no children, there she will not be Zakuka Liyibum. Right? Hareza Gitech Micholi Zeh. Right, here's your get. If I die from this particular illness, Hareza Gitech Lachar Misa. He just says it straight out. Right, here's a get, and let it be chal, right, the moment after I die. Okay? In all these cases, lo amar klum, because of ain get la'achar misa. So we see from there that ain get la'achar misa. So the Gemara says, fine, that's true, but dilma la'afuke mid rabboseinu. Maybe we need this other statement to teach you that the rabboseinu were wrong. Who are the rabboseinu and what did they say? The tanya rabboseinu hitirua linase. And they were Savri lo ki Rav Yossi. They held like Rav Yossi's position, who said, the Amar zman l'shol shtar mochiach chala. Namely, you might have thought the following situation. Let's say the guy says, Hare ze giteich la'achar mosi. Right? But he signs the, he dates the get from now. But he doesn't say me'achshav. Right, he has a get, and it has the contemporary date, and he says, in 12 months, if I don't show up, let this get, be chal. So you might have thought that zmano shel shtar mochiach chala, meaning, why did he write the date? Because he intended, even though he didn't explicate it, that the get should be chal l'mafreya retroactively. Kamash malon, that's not true. We don't believe that zmano shel get mochiach chala. So we're back to the old problem of get la'achar misa, and get la'achar misa doesn't work. So the Gemara says, fine, we still don't have a proof that what? That ein ones betnai, or beget. We still don't have any proof that ones doesn't matter, that only technically whether the condition was filled or not fulfilled matters. Now let me seifa. Let's look at another Mishnah, the seifa. It says there, me'achshav im labasi mikan vajud beis chodesh. Right? If it's me'achshav im labasi mi'ad kan v'adud beis chodesh, let this get bichal from now if I don't come back within a year. In other words, it's going to be chal retroactively. Umeis betochid beis chodesh, and he dies within those 12 months. Hareza get. So in those conditions, there is a get, because it's not a problem, of ein get lachamisa. So meis, v'hu adin l'chole. Presumably, what that teaches us is that even though there's no you've neutralized the problem of get lachamisa, because it's me'achshav, and nonetheless, what do we say? That there is a get. Right? It's a get. Even though the reason that he didn't show for 12 months is because he died. No, that's what we're saying. So, if that's the case, maybe it's get, v'hu adin, l'chala. Right? It doesn't make a difference whether he died or whether he was ill. We don't really care why he didn't show up. We only care that the condition was fulfilled, that he didn't show up. Whether he's dead or whether he's ill, once you've neutralized ein get lachamisa, there's no difference, and we see that we don't care. So this is the proof that ein onus beget. So the Gemara says, no. Duma meis dafka, maybe the only reason we say that in the case of meis, when there's no problem of ein get lachamisa, that under those conditions, right, the onus doesn't matter, is dafka in meis, because in meis, dafka, there's a reason that he would want the get to go through if he couldn't make it, even though he couldn't make it because he died. Why? Precisely because he would like her to be free. He would like her to be free and not subject to the zika of Yibum. But if it was a case of chole, right, he really wanted to come back. He doesn't want the get to be chal. But in Nebuchadnezzar, he's in a hospital. He can't reach the place which is his destination. So under those conditions, we don't know that we should say ain onus beget. Maybe yesh onus beget, right? Ella meha. So maybe it was another source. Another source that says what? Vahu damaluhu ilo asina mikan vat losin yomin. We have a gita. Guy says, if I don't show up in 30 days, let there be a get. Right? Also, betlov klasin yomin, he shows up at the end of 30 days, but he's on the other side of the bridge. He has to get in the city limits, right? Upaske mivra, and the bridge is down. So amalahu, he says, chazid asai, look, I'm here. He's screaming on the other side of the water. Amar Shmuel lav shmei masya. Even though the reason he's not here is because of an ones, we don't recognize the ones. We say, listen, he said he was going to be here, or he said it depends whether he's going to be here, and he's not here. Why he's not here is irrelevant. That he's not here is the only thing that is relevant. The Gemara says, v'dilma onsa d'shchiach shayni. Okay, so we're proving from here that ein ones b'tnai, meaning the factor of ones is irrelevant, in Gittin. So the Gemara says, maybe that's because it's an ones de shchiach. And again, in those days, I guess it was more shchiach. It's not so shchiach in our world for the bridge to be down, right? To be traffic on the bridge is shchiach. Okay, but not for the bridge to be down, hopefully. That's weird. So, b'dilma onsa de shchiach shayni, in other words, it isn't really onus. It's onus, but it's not onus. It's a predictable onus. Since it's a predictable onus, it should have been foreseen and dealt with. The fact that he didn't deal with it, even though it's somewhat foreseen, should be reason to, ignore that particular onus. But if it was an onus that was more unpredictable, then in Achanami, we would say, yesh, ones, beget. So then the Gemara says, oh, no. We're going to do a total turnaround. Ela rava svardanav shekamar. Mishum tznuos, umishum prutos. Rava said his own idea here, and don't think this is based on a universal concept of ein ones betnai, that the factor of ones doesn't, right, factor in to Tanayim. That's not true. It's a special din in Gittin, because anything revolving around the uncertainty of the giving of a get, right, has important repercussions. Actually, on both sides, of the issue. And that's what we mean by tznuos and prutzos. Gemara explains, What does it mean? Mishum tznuos di amr salah haveget zimnin de loanis the sovereign de anis umienga biyasva. We're worried about the tznuos. Tznuos are those wives who are very loyal to their husbands and loyal to the halacha. So what happens is, he says to her, if I don't show up, you know, in a year or in 30 days, whatever it is going to be a get. She is a possibly very optimistic and devoted, you know, and loyal. So she's thinking, if he didn't show up, something must have happened. Right? Secondly, she, even if she's skeptical and she thinks, you know, maybe he really wants to divorce her. But until he knows, until she's convinced that there wasn't an onus, even if she thinks that it's, an unlikely scenario, but until she's convinced, she's not going to take the risk to remarry, right, and get herself involved in the Isser Eish Hashish and possibly, you know, in the case of children, mamzerus. So the tznuos, who have a very high standard, and I'm also suggesting a very optimistic disposition, are likely, right, to be suffering adversely, right, in a situation where we have to worry about ones beget. The suffix ones beget, right, is going to be a catastrophe for tznuos. It's going to leave them in a state of being an aguna. Similarly, well, that was the Gemara's previous line. The previous line of the Gemara suggested that. Presumably not. I mean, it's not, I mean, it depends what, you know, if the Gemara's previous line is rejected and we assume that even onus to shchiach is considered to be an onus, so then you'll get the p'tur. But I don't think either way that should matter to the tznuos. The tznuos are basically saying we don't know 100% sure that he wanted to be megarish. Until we know 100%, we're not chancing it. So they're going to be sitting year after year after year after year after year, right? And that's something that we want to protect against. We also want to protect against the prutzos. What are the prutzos? Umishum prutzos. Di amri sol lehavigita zimnin da anis va'amri lo anis. The prutzos are the opposite, you know. They're ready to go. They're ready for the next marriage. So he doesn't show up on day number 30. You know, they've already called a rabbi and booked a hall. So it turns out, I mean, now and then, there's going to be an anus, right? But they're not willing to be patient enough to even find out. Now, if you're not, you know, in such a rush, or if you have a little bit of more reticence and more, conservative posture, either by personality or by worry of the halacha, so most cases of onus are going to resolve themselves, right? You know, if he's choles, he'll become healthy and he'll show up 2 days later. Or if he's on the other side of the river, you know, and he can't make it, so, you know, he'll jump in and he'll swim and he'll get there a few hours later. But if they've already got somebody lined up, they can't wait, you know, they're precipitous and, you know, not too concerned about it. Now listen, what did he want from me? Yeah, I said 30 days. We said 30 days. He said 30 days, actually. Didn't show up. What do you want from me? You know, if that's all you're worried about, so then they can get into serious trouble. It's fascinating. The halacha, of course, wants to protect the tznuos, who out of their frumkeit are going to, you know, wait forever, and we don't want them to be agunos, chas v'shalom. But, you know, are we also worried about the prutzos?
It's worse.
What?
That's worse.
In a way, it's worse, because they're going to be involved in HSH and mamzerus. On the other hand, you know, you might say, well, you know, they deserve it. You know, haliteil rosh aviyamos. I mean, who told them to get married so quickly? The answer is we know there are different types in the Jewish personality, and we want to protect everybody. You know, we want to protect the innocent, and we want to protect the guilty from ruining their lives and ruining the lives of others as well. It's a very interesting, you know, hashkafa here. Mishum tznuos and mishum prutzos. So then, that's what the Gemara says. Yeah, there was a question?
Yeah, we could have made them wait 3 months anyway. We would have made them wait regardless.
What do you mean, make them wait 3 months?
We would have made them wait 3 months.
Because of Avchana?
Yes.
Okay, but maybe it's gone longer than 3 months.
Okay,
Yud Beis Chodesh in some cases, right? So, some of the games are Shlur Shal Shem Yom, some of it is Yud Beis Chodesh.
Why is it a particular day? Whatever the day is in the get. Why not, in case you want to cover these bases, which is always doing.
Well, I was just giving an example about getting married, tomorrow.
Maybe
I was just saying that, Mishum Tznuos is they're not going to investigate too much, they're not going to wait too long. But, you know, A, it could be a case of Yud Beis Kodesh, it could be a case of Erusin and not Nesuin, so you know, maybe there wouldn't be issues of avchana necessarily either. I mean, there, it's you know, there are ways around that. Put it that way. Anyways, mishum tsnuos, mishum prutzos, we imposed a din that says that the factor, if we're going to be objective, we're going to be safer. Right? That it's measurable that he didn't show up on day number 30, or by day 30, or by 1 year. Right? It's much less measurable to try to figure out whether the reason that he didn't show up was an excusable reason or not. So the Chachamim said, you know what? We're not going that route. We need things to be decisive here. We need to protect the tsnuos. We need to protect the prutzos. So then the Gemara asks, of course, the question, and that is, well, this is all very well and good, but how can it work? Right? Again, I think I didn't finish the line about the prutzos. Bishum prutzos, the omras, lola havigita zimin da anis. There will be an anis now and then. The omra, and she will say, lo anis. She'll say he didn't show up because he didn't want to show up. V'ozla uminsava. She'll go out and remarry. And insa, then he shows up. Turns out that it was an anus, right? It wasn't really a proper get. And imsa get bato maneh mamzeir. So then the Gemara asks the question, which it asks four or five times in Shas, in cases like this. The Gemara says, umi kemidi b'doraisa lala habagita mishum tznuos mishum prutzos sharina neshasish li'alma, which means, what's going on here? What, you want to make things more clear-cut for the tznuos and the prutzos? Very, very nice. That's a policy decision. And therefore you said what? That the halacha is, from now on, that ein ones begitin. Right? But at the end of the day, you could say that all day long if you want. But if minat Torah, there is ones begitin, what does that mean? That minat Torah, when the bridge fell down, or when he was sick in the hospital, the get is not chal. But what are the Chachamim saying? Ein ones beget. The get is chal. So the Chachamim are telling you that she can go, that even though minat Torah, she's an Eish HaSish, she can go out and marry somebody else. Mishum tznuos or mishum prutzos. Right? That's shocking. That's what the Gemara asks. Mik and midi. Is there such a thing? Right? Does such a thing exist? Timidaraisa lola habaget? Mishum tznuos or mishum prutzos? Sharmina neshasish liyama? They can't do it. So the Gemara says, and yes, they can. Or whatever. Right? Kol de mekadesh adata drabanan mekadesh. Whoever's mekadesh is mekadesh. On the say so of the Chachamim, and Rash Tosis on the side says, I'm sorry, adata rabbanan mekadesh lachein omrim b'shas kiddushin kedas Moshe harit mekadesh asleep is tabazu or zo kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. That's the reference to kol mekadesh adata rabbanan mekadesh. But we just don't know what it means. V'afkinu rabbanan the kiddushin minei and we're mafkia the kiddushin. So then the Gemara says, Amalei Ravina the Ravashi, like what does that mean? You know, you substitute one problem for another. We're saying, how can this work? And you're saying, it can work. So the Gemara says, well, Tanakh, the Kodesh Bekaspa. How to read these lines is a matter of great debate. Right? But with simple, just the words mean, if the Kiddushin took place with Kesef, with money, then maybe we can understand this. But Kodesh Mabia, if the Kiddushin took place with their physical intimacy, Michael Amemar, what are you going to say about that? Meaning, how do you oker? How do you undo that? Very strange question, but we'll get back to that. So the Gemara's answer is Shavu Rabbana Labilasa Bilasnus. No problem. They turned the physical encounters, which previously were thought to have been and were between husband and wife, right? They uprooted the whole institution of Ishus. And turns out that that's Bilazus. They can do that. What do you mean they can do that? Right. The implications here in terms of what the Chachamim can or can't do, depending how you read these Gemaras, is very, very enormous. That's not tonight's topic. Pashtus is that it's the Mafreya.
You said you're getting a get after the Kedushin.
What are you asking? You're saying, what's going on here? Is this a get or is this Akira San Kedushin? So the answer is,
from the day one, from now.
No, but the get is only a get midrabanon.
Right.
Right?
So
not chal for now, it has to be chal for. Well, so this is the question. So I'll just, I'm not, this isn't tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is onus b'tanai. But the after tonight's topic will be Mafkia Kedushin. I'll just tell you that briefly, though. Most of the Rishonim are of the opinion that the Akira of the Kedushin here is Lamafreya. And that the get is just a trigger, but it isn't really what undoes the Ishus. What undoes the Ishus is the Kala Makadish Adanta Drabana Makadish Afkin Rabana Makedushin Mine. Now the question, how does that work? There are different views how it works. Rashi says that if you look at Rashi, Rashi seems to say it's like an implicit Tanai. That when you get married on condition that the Chachamim, look at Rashi for a minute, Kala Makadesh, Kala Makadesh Isha Al Das Shin Higu Chachme Yisrael Bi Yisrael Hu, Makadsha, he's Makadesh on based on the you know perspective of Chachme Yisrael Bi Yisrael, Shiyu Kayamin Kiddushin Lefi Divrei Chachamim. That the Chachamim should, you know, approve of these Kiddushin. The Yubetelem Lefi Divrei Chachamim, Aidei Gitin, Shech Shiru Chachamim. Even though the get is only Drabanan, when you give a get Drabanan, the conditions are there to undermine a Kiddushin. Lemafreya. That's how Rashi reads. V'afkin Rabanan leKiddushin Minei. Now, how does this really work? Simple pshat on Rashi is it's not as radical as it seems. It's radical in the effect, but it's not radical in the mechanism. The mechanism, like the Ritva says, is it's all. You know, I could say Harayat Mukadesh Shli Amanashi Yirtza Abba. Right, I marry you. I give you a pruta, the edim, right? There's the hall, everything. Right, and I say the condition is Almanas on condition that my father approves. I can also say Harayat Mukadesh Shli Amanashi Yirtza Gishamim. Either now or tomorrow or next week, right? So, according to the Ritva and the Meiri, and maybe this is the Pshat and Rashi mostly, let's say he says, Harayat Mukadesh Shli Amanashi Yirtza Chachamim. But he makes the Yirtza Chachamim here an open ended one. Not just at the moment of the Kiddushin, but, you know, later on as well. If the Chachamim are unhappy, then he goes Mil Sulam Afreya that the Tznai is broken. That's an Akira L'mafreya. That's how some Rishonim interpret. The Bali Tosas don't interpret that way. They speak in terms of the Gemara Nivamos, which says, very powerful idea, the question is how to limit it a little more. Yesh koach biyad chachamim, lakor, davar minatorim, afilu b'kum vase. That's a debate or a discussion in the Gemara in Nivamos, Daf Tzadi. I know what's the Daf Yomi up to. What are they up to? Sounds like you're learning Daf Yomi, maybe. How much? 72? Okay, so you'll be there in a couple of less than 2 weeks on Daf Tzadi, which is the Sugya of Yesh Koach Be'ad Chachamim Lakor Davar Minat Torah. So Tosus here, look at Tosus just for a second, you'll see. Tosus says, the Hefker Bezen Hefker, Tanach the Kaddish Bekaspa, the Hefker Bezen Hefker, Baba Mos Matana, Umi Mela Yu Kobi Los of Znus, Bekaddish Bebiyam Aikele Meimar, Eich Yafkiyo Bir Shol Kedushin. This is a discussion of Tosas. Tosas sees this whole idea of Akira Sakidushin not as a Tanai, like Rashi, or an implicit Tanai, but as a Akiras Davar Minatora, and then he's trying to fit it into that sugya. There are those who interpret differently. There's one view, again, we'll discuss this more when we get to it, but there's one view of the Tosas Ria Lavan and the Ramban and the Ra'ah and the Rajba likes it mostly. This you'll like, I think. And they say, like, this is the what I call the ingenious view. They say as follows. What's really happening here is that the Chachamim are saying, you know what, we have the power to uproot this Kedushin. L'mafreya. But because we have the power to do that, we don't need to do it. Okay, what does that mean? This is why I call it the ingenious approach. Basically, what happened here? He gave a get on condition that he show up, right? Or that he not show up for 30 days, right? And he didn't show up for 30 days. And the problem is that the Drabanan said, because of Tznuos and Bishum Prutzos, we don't have to worry about the we don't have to worry about why he didn't show up. We just have to worry that he didn't show up. Right? Then the Gemara asked, But Minat Torah, aren't you admitting that extenuating circumstances matter? In which case, if the bridge fell down and he didn't show up, it isn't really a get. But if it isn't really, if he didn't really want it to be, because he didn't want it to be a get, because he wanted to make it, but he just couldn't because the bridge fell down, right? But if that's the case, then it isn't really a get. She's an Eishes Ish, right? So the Gemara says no afkinu. So the way that they interpret it is they say like this: the Chachamim have the ability to reach back and to undermine your kedusha. In whatever mechanism, Yeshkoch Be'achachamim or Tanai. For that reason, when they say to you, you know what, onus may matter to you narrowly, but we're telling you it doesn't matter anymore. Are you going to go along with them? If you knew, they could undermine your kedushin, and then on your permanent record, you will have months and years of averas. Do you prefer that, or do you prefer that even though normally all things being equal, when the bridge falls down, you would like there not to be a get, but since the alternative that you face right now is either they're going to end your marriage by telling you that you were never married and were living in sin for all these years, that's possibility number one. Alternative number two is, you know what, even though it's an accident, even though you'd love to be on the other side of the bridge, you know, you're going to have to get over it and have das legaresh. Your marriage is over anyway, right? You have two choices going forward. We can either revise your history and pile a whole bunch of crime and a very checkered record, right? Or you can say, you know what, the bridge fell down, the get's still going to go through.
Sounds like the ultimate get elusive.
What?
Sounds like the ultimate
I hear you. Well, I guess.
Even though he's screaming that I'm here and I want to.
Because he doesn't understand, if he would understand, he is screaming that because he doesn't want to get divorced. But if he would understand, if he would know his true alternatives, which are his marriage ends by method number one, or his marriage ends by method number two, then he would no longer be screaming. That's the assumption. Now the Rajba says this in a much more moderate way. The Rajba says like this: you don't really need to be, because all the Rishonim were bothered, you know, in law this is a disaster. It's unbelievably effective and it's also a disaster. Meaning, the ability to be oker somebody's kedushin l'mafreya is a huge power and it can solve a lot of problems. Right? But it's also a disaster because it wreaks havoc, you know, with time and any kind of, you know, normal system of rules and of law. You never want to, you know, revise history in such a way. So the Rishonim were bothered by this, and they asked the question in very, you know, clear ways. Right, so the Bali Tosis in Gittin ask, you could use this to be Matayar every Mamzer. And what is a Mamzer? A Mamzer is a child that is produced, right, by an Eishes Ish, you know, outside of her marriage. A Nebuch, that poor child, is a victim, right? It's a terrible limitations in terms of who we can marry. There are people who can marry, but not so many, right? You could solve all Mamzer's problems through Akira's Kiddushin L'mafreya. Or, right, if you're not fond of the death penalty, right, so every betrayal, every spousal betrayal, right, that should trigger a capital punishment, you know, you could get out of, the way the Gemara said, they were shown him ask it, they ask it much more nicely. They say, Shema Yechapel Bas Achoso. Okay? Let's say he marries his niece, right, and she betrays him. So on the one hand, she betrayed him, but on the other hand, it's his niece. You know, he's supposed to look his brother or sister, in the eye. So he doesn't want her to get the death penalty. Right? So do something that will trigger a retroactive undermining of the kedushin, and you can save her the death penalty, right? Or the way some Bali Tosis asks the question: how do you ever have hasra in such a case? It should always be hasra safek. Maybe there'll be an ones and the tnai, and you know you'll be oka the whole kedushin the mafreya. So what are you going to say? Oh, don't go ahead with this act of betrayal. It's hasra safek. That's not such a strong question, but some Rishonim ask that. What does that have to do with anything? Well, okay, I mean, in cases... Well, those are just examples. That's just an example of the betrayal. But yeah, 100%. Anyway, this is a... What's that?
How could she ever eat truma?
Okay. I mean, how could she eat truma b'toras eishes kohen? Maybe Goy Milsom afraid that she wasn't eishes kohen. Okay, good. Good question. So these are all questions. So... What? So these are all questions, right? Now, there are answers to these questions. Many of the Rishonim answer the question in one way or another. There's no Hashra Safek, because until you revise history, you don't assume history is going to be revised, right? You operate on the basis of the way things are. Shami Basa Basa, maybe it doesn't work that way, you can't use it for that, or it's so rare, you know, we're not worried about the convergence of both these things. All sorts of answers that are given. It's not for time, it's another... Since you asked me, though, I'll just tell you very quickly. But the answer for these, that small group of Rishonim that I'm talking about, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ra'ah, their answer is, it's true that if you were Oker L'mafreya, right, then all this opens up a Pandora's box. But you don't need to do it. The threat usually does. So the way the Rashba says it in a more moderate way, the threat of being Oker L'mafreya is enough to change, right, the circumstances of the viability of the get. Because as I said before, if you know either you're going to get your Kedushin Akirud, right, or you might as well have Das Lagarish even under these extenuating circumstances, most normal people are going to go for alternative number two. So then, once that's the case, the threat of Afkinu did the job. The Ramban and Ri'al Lavan go even further. They seem to think that, especially the Ramban, the threat always works. Because Ramban says, listen, in the end of the day, what are you trying to say? What do you mean you don't want to get divorced? Right? You're claiming, I'm here. Chazid asai. Because why? You don't want to be divorced. You don't want your marriage to end. Your marriage is over. It's over one way, it's over the other way. So even if you want it to be an action, say, I don't care. In my family, no divorce. Right? Let the Chachamim do their best. Let them oker my Kedusha. It sounds to me, at least, like it's a fascinating thing. The Koyt to the Rabban doesn't matter. Because in the end of the day, how are you being mevatel this get? Right? You're being mevatel the get to so that your Ishus should end in a different way? Maybe you can only be mevatel a get to Chiddush too. Maybe you can only be mevatel a get in order to save a marriage, right? Not in order to establish a different termination of your marriage. Okay. So then, the threat of l'mafreya makes the get work, like you were saying before. That's not the majority reading of the Gemara, but there are some Rishonim who interpret that. There are also some Rishonim who think that it's just akira mikan l'haba, and this is either a hechshra get, or you don't really need the get. Chachamim have so much power in Ishus, they can just step in. That's incredible too. Okay, anyways, this is the Shak of Atari. Then the Gemara goes on and repeats the whole thing again. The Gemara says, Ika da Amri Amarava v'chein linyan gitin. Instead of starting the, you know, that it's not linyan gitin, meaning ones begitin is a factor. We don't ignore the extenuating circumstances. We don't only look at the question, did you or didn't you fulfill your tanai? We also look at why you didn't fulfill your tanai. And then the Gemara goes back, the exact same Shak Levitari with the exact same rayas, but in the opposite direction. And in the end, you know, that's how they end off. That yesh, ones, beget, fine. So what I want to discuss now, that's a Shak Levitari. That's what we're up to on the bottom of Gimel Medav. Okay, so what I want to take the time to discuss now is what this issue really is all about. Because the Gemara does seem to say, even according to Rava, the end of the day, way Rava ends up is there's a special din in Gittin because of Tznuos and Prutzos. We want to protect that group in the Jewish world, and we want to protect that group, right? They're two opposite groups, but we want to protect them both, right? From themselves. And therefore, ain onus beget. But in principle,
is that the
Amri's
conclusion also?
No. But what I'm saying is, in principle, what I'm saying is, even the first Deya thinks that in principle, if not for tznuos and prutzos and get, yesh ones betnai, meaning when you enter into some sort of legal contract, right, which is rooted in some sort of condition. In the end of the day, it seems like what we're saying is that if you can't, you know, be punctilious, scrupulous in your carrying out of the terms, right, and the reason for that is an onus, then, you know, we don't hold you fully to the letter of the contract. That's the halakha. Now the question is, why should that be true? And what is that based on? So I think that there can be two, broadly speaking, two approaches. And I think this touches on several very big issues in halach. One approach, very simple, I think it's probably the majority view of the Mefarshim here. And it's very pragmatic, and that is, it's all about umdana. It's all about reading the guy's mind. If I say, if I don't show up within 30 days, or I don't show up within a year, right? So what do I really mean? And you're going to hold me technically to my word. There's a certain, in all law, right? There is the letter of the law, and there's the intent, the person's intent, right? So when I say, if I don't show up in 30 days, what's a coincidence that I said that? It's totally arbitrary. What it means is, either I don't care, and I want to abandon this marriage, but I don't want you to be stuck forever. Or maybe I care very deeply, right? But obviously whatever is keeping me away for more than this amount of time is something, you know, which compromises the marriage too. Meaning, it means we're not going to be able to live together. There are complications in my life. Something happened to me. I don't want, you know, to be an aguna, whatever it is. In other words, there is the actual formulation of the tanai. And then there's the question of, let's read his mind a little bit. Now, we generally have a rule, dvarim shabalei veinam dvarim, right? Meaning, you have to explicate in law, in halachic law. However, here and there, we know that if something is a very strong umdana, right, if it's, you know, anansadi, you know, we can read people's minds. That's not called dvarim shabalei. It's a fine line between saying dvarim shabalei veinam dvarim. Like if I mention to someone else, or, you know, I tell you, just believe me, I'm an honest man. I say, this is not what I meant. That's dvarim shabalei. But predictable, right, adjustments, right, of the letter of my contract, that's covered by the concept of umdana and so on. Just to give you an example, the very famous Gemara in Kedushin. Gemara says, Haiman de Zavan Ara, person sold his property, and he told everybody, you know, Almanas, you know, Lalos, Eretz Yisrael. He said, I'm making Aliyah, selling my home, selling my car, right? Selling my business. So, and then something happens, and he can't do it. Right? So the Gemara says that, you know, under certain conditions, all those transactions that he made, right, would be null and void. Even he didn't say, you know, he told everybody why he was doing it. He didn't say, unconditioned, I, you know, make Aliyah. Right? You know, he was wearing the proper colors, and, you know, he was spouting, you know, Zionist, you know, ideology on a regular basis. And, but it wasn't part of the condition. Indeed, throughout Shas, we know there are things called the Tanai B'nei God B'nei Ruvein, right? All sorts of Mishpatei Tanoim, rules of conditions. Ein Kodem Alav, right, positive before the negative, Tanai Kafel, You have to, you know, formulate in both directions. If I do this, then that. If I don't, then don't. Right? All sorts of Tanayim Aiser shouldn't be, Tanayim Aiser should not be B'davar Echad, Davar She'afshar L'kaimo, Davar She'afshar Yidei Shliach, Na'amasa Mashukasa B'Torah. There are all sorts of rules. They learned from the story of B'nai Gad, U'B'nai Ruvain, etc. So the Shonu Mal ask, if you look through Shas, sometimes it seems like we ignore these Mishpatei Tanayim. And the Gemara says in Kiddushin and in Sukkah that, you know, if a guy on the first day of Sukkot, so he gives his lulav to, you know, to someone else, so al-manas, that the person return it, right? So if they return it, good. It means they fulfill the obligation and then they return it. If they don't return it, they didn't fulfill the obligation either because it turns out that they stole it. So the Rishon HaMal ask, how come when the Gemara quotes this Matar Menas L'Haksir, right? Amenashe, you know, Taksireuli. So how come when they formulated that Tanai, how come the Gemara doesn't record that they made it a Tanai Kofel? They said, if you give it back, then you're Yotzei, right? And if not, or then I give it to you, and if not, then I don't give it to you. You need a Tanai Kofel. So the Rishonim say in Kiddushin and Avav Medbeis and in Sukkah, like Medbeis and Medbeis, all over the place, they give different answers. Some of them say, oh, the Gemara just didn't write it out. That's what they meant. Fine. Other answers that they give are, they start quoting this Gemara in Memtes and Kiddushin. Hay man deboi lemizban are, you know, because he's going to Eretz Yisrael. They say, you only need Mishpatei Tanayim in a Tanai. But sometimes the Umdana is so strong, right? That it's not a Tanai, it's a Tos. Similarly, what I'm saying here is, maybe one way to explain the rule of Yesh, Ones, B'Tanai, that even though I made a condition, and even though the letter of the contract, right, was implemented, but if it was Al Yedei Ones, Yesh, Ones, B'Tanai, the contract doesn't work. Why? So one way to explain it is because it's a tos. If I would have known, I didn't mean this condition, if I had anticipated this contingency, I would have said, you know, except if the bridge falls down. I would have said, or I meant, unless I'm sick. Right? It's not the kind of thing which is far-fetched. And consequently, even though it's not explicated, it's implicit. That's one approach to Yesh Ones Bitna.
Is that connection
to the dark? What? Oh, one sec. There is, however, another possibility, and that is that this is a much more formal kind of din. Instead of reading people's minds and trying to figure out what they meant, what their intention was, and the fine line between an umdana demuchach and a tos on one side, and a dvarim shebalei veinam dvarim on the other, maybe what we should be looking at in this topic is on the purely formal and legal side. And that is, when an action takes place ba'ones, right, against your will, is that considered legally and formally as if you did it or not? So for example, what happened here was, the guy said, Hare, you know, getzeh, right, almanas, right, im lo avo, ad shlo shimyom. Or Yud Beis Chodesh. So what happened? He didn't come in Shloshim Yom, or he didn't come in Yud Beis Chodesh. But the reason he didn't come was bonus. So he was lo ba, bonus. Let's call it this way. Let's say it this way. There was a kiyum hatnai, but it was bonus. He was lo ba, which is the kiyum hatnai, because he said him lo ba si, right? Harez aget. So he fulfilled the Tanai, but he fulfilled the Tanai, not willingly, but out of coercion, right? Extenuating circumstances. So now the question is, instead of saying what we said before, which is, the issue is, but fine, he clearly didn't mean under these conditions, so he didn't spell it out. But it's implicit, it's a toast, it's an umdana. That's not just a svarim shibli, right? Now what I'm saying now is totally different. What we're saying is, Halo Misha Loba Baones, is that called Loba? in other words, what we sometimes call the topic of whether ones is kaman da'avid or ones is kaman da'lo'avid. If you did an action, but you did it under duress, right, or you did it without will, right, is that considered to be an action or not? Oh. So support for this actually comes from an interesting Shaklavatarya. You asked me about Nadarim, right? Didn't you ask me about Nadarim?
Yeah, in the first case.
What?
In the first case, I thought.
Okay, right, in both cases, fine. So there's a parallel Gemara about Nadarim. 100% right. The Gemara Nadarim, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, that's the first of our Marmakavos. There's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, let's go through it very quickly, Nidrei Onsin. Nidrei Onsin means Hidiru Chaveiro Sheyochal Etzlo. He told his friend, you're off limits, right? V'cholahu, Oshacholah B'no, Oshikvo Nahar, Harenu Nidrei Onsin. And then an onus takes place, right, which was unforeseen. And the question is whether the neder that he made applies nonetheless, or since the circumstances are not only unpredictable but out of his control, so that's called nidrei onsin and it's not chal. So the Gemara says as follows. That's the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says nidrei onsin are not chal. Yeah. So then the Gemara says hahu gavra the atvis achvasa bebedina. There was a fellow who put his, there was a dispute between two parties, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven comes to court and he says, this is my evidence. And he announces, V'omar, ilo asina atlasin yomen, levatlun hani zachvasai. Says, if I don't show up within 30 days back to court, right, I hereby forfeit my assets here, my argument, my winning argument, or my winning evidence. Okay? So what's he doing? Forfeiting his winning evidence if he doesn't show up in 30 days. Isnis v'lo'asa. Exactly the same circumstances as we're talking about here, right? He says, im lo'avo, right, tevatel my rayas. He doesn't show up, but the reason he doesn't show up is because of an ones. So the Gemara says, Omer avuna, batel zachvase. We don't care why, we care that. He didn't show up, he didn't show up. We rip up his shtaros, or his evidence, or whatever it is. Oh, seems pretty harsh. So then the Gemara says, Amalei Rava, what are you talking about? Onesu, the ones, Rachmana, Patre. Whoa, that's interesting. Dichsiv, Ulinar, Losasa Davar. Right, referring to the ultimate ones, Rachmana, Patre. Right, she was attacked, she's a victim. Right? Or you say, well, Naral is Hasadavar. She doesn't get punished when she, was physically involved when it was against her will, obviously. That's Onos Rachmana Patre. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, namely, if Onos is Patur in such a situation, then also in Tanai, we should say that Onos is an extenuating circumstance. Is that the same thing, those two things? Or put it this way. If you take the view, now this is a parallel, this Gemara is a parallel. Now the Mishnah is also a parallel, but the Gemara is even more of a parallel. Meaning, the Mishnah is about neder ba'ones. And the Mishnah basically says that a neder ba'ones is not a proper neder. Fine. Then the Gemara says that a tnai ba'ones is still a proper tnai. Ones isn't a factor. And the Gemara says, what are you talking about? It's an onus rachmana patre, lo narolus asadavar. So onus should be a factor, meaning an extenuating factor, right? So, if the Gemara meant umdana, right? Namely, it's true that he said, throw out my evidence if I don't show up in 30 days. But what he meant was, if I may... if it's a hoax, and I'm not trustworthy, and I don't have to face my judicial, responsibility. I mean, I don't show up, then you have the right to throw my court case out. But I didn't mean that the bridges fell down, or that he was ill, or both. Right? But how's the Gemara characterizing that? So if what the Gemara meant was, that's not what I meant. Right? It's an umdana. You have to read between the lines. It should have said, unless it's for reasons of onus. So the best way to explain that is to say, ulanar lasasa davar onus rachmona patre. No, onus rachmona patre ulanar lasasa davar, that refers to a whole different idea. Not what did he have in mind, right? How do we interpret his condition? But objectively, what is the legal status of an action which took place under duress? If you were coerced, did you do it or not? Or at least are you punished for it or not? So now the Sassadov is either just about punishment. You can't punish somebody for something that they did against their own will. Or maybe it's more than that. It's not considered a Maisa Avera or an involvement. But either way, what does that have to do with Umdana? So it's fascinating is the Gemara then says, V'chitema katala shaini. Maybe when we say, Ol nara lo sasa davar, what we mean is you're not going to give somebody the death penalty. So are they in that line? Are they basically saying, don't quote me, Ol nara lo sasa davar, onus rachmana patre. That's about either onshim. If it's about onshim, it has nothing to do with anything. Katala shaini means onshim, or maybe onish misa in particular, some Rishonim say. Right? But what does that have to do with either umdanas, which is one possible way to read the Gemara about Tanai, or formal actions? That's one way to read the Gemara. Or maybe what the Gemara is saying is, V'chitema katala shaini is their way of saying, not that onish is different, but if you're talking about something that is subject to the death penalty, and the question is whether or not you did that action in a formal way or not, so then we say things like, onos rachmana patre ol nara lo sasa davar. But here we're talking about an umdana. We're talking about what did the guy have in mind. Either way, then the Gemara goes on and says, Vatnan nidre onsin. Meaning, you don't need onus rachmana patre. It's enough to prove from nidre onsin that nidre onsin don't apply bonus. Then the Gemara says, "L'rava ma'ishna mihod etzan reizik gitach mi'achshav l'mabasim mikan v'anyud beis chodesh." They start quoting our Gemara about the bridge and everything. It ends up into our sugya. Fine. So what I'm asking is, when the Gemara introduced Olanar Olasasa Navar, the Gemara seemed to be saying two things. Number one, that Onus Rachmana Patre Olanar Olasasa Navar is not just about Onshim, right? It's about formal actions. Maisa Ba'ones Shma Maisa or not? Do you need to do tshuva for an Aveira that you do bonus? I should have put those in my book. Maybe for next week I'll bring that and I'll put those on. That's a big, big issue. Is onus considered to be a ma'isa avera or not? The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, speaks about shogeg. Doesn't sound like onus is a ma'isa avera. But on the other hand, we clap al chet, right, for onsim as well. But the question is, when you're clapping al chet, you know, you're clapping on things that you didn't do. You know, you're clapping on things that you did last year. You know, so how much is that really a reflection of, you know, we'll get to that. The you know, the Rambam has a very, very, very famous psak in Hilchos, you know, in Siyas Kapayim or Tefillah, where the Hilchos Tefillah, but the part of the Siyas Kapayim. What about a kohen shehoreg es hanefesh? What about a kohen she'avad avodah zarah but ba'ones? Right? Can he be no say as kapov? So it could be, again, those are different. Maybe it's in a biahava. There are all sorts of explanations, but it's an interesting, there are a little whole literature about this, whether Maisa Ba'ones Shema Maisa, right, or not. So the point is that the Gemara seems to be saying, what are you talking about? You know, the guy made a condition in Besdin, and you're going to hold him to it when there was an onus. Onus rachmana batre. So the simple reading is, what Rava's saying is, onus is not a maisa avera, onus is not a maisa, so this isn't considered loba. Right? There has to be a legal loba. And this is not a legal loba. Then when the Gemara says, oh, what are you talking about? Katola shiny, are they saying, don't bring in maisim here? You know, are they saying, don't bring in maisim here, it's about umdana? Or are they saying, you're worried about maisim, and that's relevant, but don't bring in nara l'sasanav, that's about onshim? There's an interesting debate between the Rambam and the Ramban, just mentioned that. In Sefer HaMitzvos, earlier the Rambam in Perek Chaf of Sanhedrin, the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah, min HaTorah, that's addressed to the Dayanim, not to implement onshim, but ones. When people violate ba'ones. Somebody does an aver ba'ones, don't punish him.
What would the ones be for the
Nara?
What would the
ones
be?
Can't marry a
Kohen. Well, no. She can't marry a Kohen, that might be whatever, but the onus, no. What we're saying is, she didn't do anything. She doesn't get an onus.
What would we think the dover was? What was happening? They didn't think there would be a dover. Osasin dover. What would the dover be?
Maybe if she's an Eishes Ish.
Well,
right? She's not a girl, so. But the answer we're saying that she's an Anusa. Huh. Right? So basically what we're saying is... In what? Well, we'll get to that. If it's Gibel Averus, maybe it makes a difference. But let's say not Gibel Averus. A person that violates Shabbos bonus. Right. So basically, it's like this. So the Rambam says, the Dayanim have a tzivui to make sure not to implement onshim bonus. So the Ramban says, that's not a mitzvah. That's a fact. Right? Meaning, you don't need to count that as one of the mitzvos of Tayag. The person didn't do anything. It's like you're asking, what are you going to punish her?
Call her Naro. We're calling her Naro.
Well, Naro Barasa, I would say. Right. But if she did a Barasa, she'd be punished. Right? We're just saying, but it's a bonus. The Torah isn't saying she should, but she isn't. She's saying she shouldn't. They're just explaining it. But the point I'm trying to make is, the Ramban is either saying, listen, it's a didn't own shim, but you don't need to tell the Dayanim because there's no Avamina. Or he's saying more than that. He's saying, it's not a didn't own shim. There's no Maisa Avera. There's nothing to punish. But the Rambam is saying, there's no own shim. Bezin should know that, but that doesn't mean there's no Maisa Avera. As it happens, some of the cases the Rambam are happens to be speaking of, happen to be Gimel Averos cases. So you might say, you know, Gimel Averos, there is a Maisa Avera, even if there's no. There's a big debate with the Gimel Averos where we say, Harigla Yavar, right, Im Avar, Veloneirag, Ba'ones, in other words, whether you get punishments or not. The Rambam Paskins needs no punishment. It's 2 days in Tosas in Sanhedrin, Samach Aleph Amud Beis, the Ramach, the Ereim, the David Bon. There's a group of Rishonim who say that if you do a Vodazara Ba'ones, right, in your Chayiv Yorig Vayavar, you're liable to the death penalty. But the majority view of the Rishonim say, even though you're supposed to give up your life, if you didn't, you don't get punished. Those are two different dinim. And that makes, obviously, that's the most compelling.
It's different from when you say,
you know what? It's very similar. It's parallel. You could be Michalik in either direction.
Right, but that's Misasek doesn't count.
Because Misasek, you could still say Shekein Nanan in Misasek, because the problem with Misasek is a lack of focus.
Right? There's no Maisa Avera by Misasek.
Yeah, no, that's a Machlokas too. I mean, that's a debate. I mean, that's a famous tshuva of Rabbi Kveger. I mean, it has roots in Rishonim, but Rabbi Kveger was asked this question. You know, the beginning of his tshuvas, like Simen Ches, a famous one. Maybe we'll talk about it. And he basically concludes that there is a Maisa Avera, except in Hukkah Shabbos, because of Melech Tzvach Shabbos Asr Torah, there is a Maisa Avera, it's just a Ptur Karba. Others think it's not a Maisa Avera. But the answer is very simple. In this Asek, no one's forcing you to do it, it's your lack of focus. You're preoccupied, you're trying to do A, you're trying to do A, and you end up doing B. So we say, Chalam Barayos, Chayev Shekeinana. meaning good, you're preoccupied, but you know you're also benefiting, right? Now, ones is a similar question, whether it's a mice of air or not, and we could debate which is more, which is less. Meaning, ones is coercive, so you don't have a choice. So there the shekinenah isn't going to do anything for you, because it's against his will. He twisted his arm, put a gun to his head, right? So what's shekinenah? In misasek, no one put your gun to your head. He's just not concentrating, but he's nene. But if you ask me, which is worse, which is less of mice of air, misasek or onus? I tell you that, you know, yesh panim l'chan l'chan. I mean, misasek, he could, but he doesn't. He's not focused. He doesn't know what he's doing, basically. Right? He's not aware of what he's doing. Onus, he's totally aware. Right? But in onus, he doesn't have a choice. In misasek, he's unaware, but he has a choice. Which is a bigger problem in my savera? Right? Awareness or choice? Hard to say. I think one would think that either of these factors, you know, is enough to undermine. Or maybe each factor, awareness and choice, is sufficient to be a maisa. Hard to know. But it is parallel. For example, Rabbi Kveger, in that piece, in the Tshuva, says, one of the nafkaminas are going to be, kum le bedraba minay. That's an ingenious piece, that Rabbi Kveger. Meaning, the rule is, as we know, chayve miso shogim p'tur. Meaning, if you do a capital crime and has a monetary at the same time, or it has a monetary component, so the rule is kamle b'drabba min. Right? We don't say, you know what, pay the parking fine. You're going to jail for the rest of your life, or you're going to the chair. What is it? The chair? They still call it the chair. It's not so popular anymore, right? So we're going to execute you, right? And by the way, when you committed the crime, you also didn't pay your parking ticket. So, we're also, charging your bank account $15. What?
Could sell your organs now.
Okay. Ooh. Sorry to hear that. Anyways, so the point is, come on, drive me, right? So the rule is that come on, drive me applies even in Chayve Misa Shogim Peturim. We pass by Chizkiah. Kiske says, let's say you did something, you're not going to get the death penalty. You did a capital crime, bishogeg. You still don't pay the money. Right? I call it the eclipsing theory of kum le bedraba minay. In other words, given the magnitude of what you did, the parking ticket, or mocha on the parking ticket, or it just doesn't even register. We don't say, oh, you ran him down, and ran him down, and your car was, in an illegal zone. The illegal zone is just, bringing it up is kind of absurd. I mean, it's tafel to such an extent that it doesn't, it's not just not actionable, it's kind of not even, not even relatable. Okay, so we say chayde, even if it's shogeg, chayde means a shogeg p'tur. But that's because there's a ma'isa aveira. Shogeg is ma'isa aveira, right? So you did a ma'isa aveira, even though you won't get punished for it, it's be a karban. But he did a capital avera, and your potter mi mamo, right? But let's say you were misasek, and you triggered a chiyuv moment at the same time. So the irony is the irony, and or ones, right? The irony is, that you'd think that the.
It's a worse.
But that's the point. You need there to be a maisa, a capital maisa avera, in order to be potter for the mammon. So it could be, if misasek is less of a maisa avera, right, then you're going to be more chayiv mammon. Right. So we could ask this question, what about onus, what about misasek, what about malachshin tzvicha legufa, right? When do you say kom lebedrava mine? There are the nafkamina. Anyways, the point hopefully is basically clear. There are two perspectives on how to read this Gemara, of ones rachmona patre, and then the Gemara says vilma katalashai. Now, what's fascinating is if you look at going back to our Gemara, right? So Rashi on Gimel Amud Aleph, I think it's Gimel Amud Aleph, right? Yeah. Dirmasol dimidoraisa lo havagita, right? Third line down. So Rashi says, Shematzinu tainas ones min haTorah, shenamar l'nar l'sasa davar. Right? Rashi says, how could it be you have something that min haTorah, there's no tanah, there's no get, but the Chachamim are treating it as if there's a get, she's an Eish HaSish. So what he's trying to explain, why is there no get, which is the way of saying, yesh ones begita, yesh ones betanai. So what does he add? Shematzinu tainus ones min haTorah, shenamar l'nar l'sasa davar. What? Where did that come from? Came from the Darim Dav Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, from Rava. Except that in the Darim Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, after Rava said it, in the Shaka Vatari of the Gemara, then they just said, V'dilma Shadav, V'dilma Katala Shaini, we thought that it got cut on the cutting floor. Obviously Rashi didn't read it that way. Obviously Rashi read it that once the Gemara concludes, that Yesh, Ona, what the Gemara was saying is, how do you know, maybe Ein Onas B'Tanai? Maybe Elnar Lasasadover is just a didn't own Shim. But in the Maskana, the Gemara, when the Gemara says Yesh Onas B'Tanai, obviously the way Rashi understood it, they're going back with Rava's original Onas Rachmana Patre. And that's what he's quoting here. Amazing. Miri also quotes it. Other Rishonim don't quote it. So, if you take this view, namely, that the problem of ones b'tanai, again, what does it mean? Do we look at the technical letter of the contract? What does it say? And what happened? It says if you don't show up, and he didn't show up. Or do we consider ones, extenuating circumstances? Right? Which is how we paskin. And if so, do we do that because of an umdana? We can fill in what's written with what is implicit. Or is it because there's something called the formality of the letter of the law at stake here? Namely, a maisa bonus, lo shma maisa, and that's the reason. Oh. But if that's the case, that would make sense from Naral Asasadavar. But if that's the case, then let's consider the following possibility as well. Let's say you have the case that we have in the Gemara, right? The case of the Gemara is Kiyum Hatnai Biglal or Al Yedei Ones. Because he said, Im Lo Basi, Hareza Get. If I don't show up, it's a get. And he didn't show up. But the reason he didn't show up is because of Ones. So Lo Ba Machmas Ones, the question is Lo Ba in quotation marks, which is Machmas Ones, Shma Lo Ba? Or lo shma lo ba? Right? In other words, did he fulfill the t'nai? In which case the maisa should go through. Or maybe he didn't fulfill the t'nai. That depends whether a maisa bonus is considered a maisa or not, right? Everybody with me? Okay, but let's say he had the following case. Instead of saying im lo basi, hareza get, let's say he said, im basi, hareza get. Right? If I show up, she said to him, you know what? You're hanging around the house too much. Right? This marriage is never going to work. So he says, listen, let's not be rash. Right? In Bussi, I'm only being facetious. In Bussi, Hareza get, he says, if I come home within 30 days, we'll divorce. So what happens? Let's say he's lo ba machmas ones. He's trying to get back so he could trigger the get. In Basi is a get. And he doesn't show up because the bridge fell down. Exact same scenario, except that he didn't say lo Basi, he said in Basi. Right? And he's on the other side of the river and he's screaming and he's yelling, Chazid Asai, Chazid Asai. Should be a get. So what are you going to say? Would you still say Yesh Onas Beget B'Tanai, Yesh Onas Beget? Minat Torah? No, that's what we're talking about. It's the last get, it's the last sofer, whatever it is. He gave it to her already. The question is whether it's going to be implemented. You don't always say, give her another get. I mean, that's not a halachic answer. That's a balabatisha answer. But what? We could cut out half of the shas if we wanted to say that. Give her another get. But do you understand the question? The question is as follows. If we're talking about reading his mind, there might be different reading, mind reading, whether when you make a positive or a negative tonight too, but that aside, all things being equal, right? The point is what? Eish onus b'tai, what does that mean? It means we don't just care what happens, we care why it happens, right? That could go in either direction. The real question is, does he want to get divorced or not? In one case, he's trying to get back because he doesn't want to get divorced. In the other case, he's trying to get back because he wants to get divorced. Right? But all things being equal, right? It's the same onus. And either we go by the letter of the law or we try to read his mind. However, if we're talking about a formal hagdara, formal definition of the Tanai, he says in lo basi, and it's a lo ba machmas onus, and we say maisa onus lo shma maisa, therefore there's no lo ba here. So there's no kiyum atanai. But what would happen in the other way? He says in basi, and he can't make it because of the bridge, so what happened? What are you going to say? Can you say he didn't come because of an onus, it's as if he came? You can say he didn't come, but it's because of an onus. It's not as if he didn't come. But you can say he didn't come because of an onus, it's as if he came. You could say that if you're mind reading. But you can't say that on the surface when you're formalizing Kiyum HaTanai. So that's what the Ra'ah and the Ritva said. Look at the Ra'ah and the Ritva. The next piece, starting from line 10 and 11. The Kasa Ritva, Amarava, Alinian Gitin, we'll stop here, Eino Chain, right? Klomar, in other words, She'ena Bal Yachaliton Tainus Ones, Levatalus Aget, a Baal cannot invoke extenuating circumstances to get out of his contract, right? She'im Nasan Al Tanai, if he gave a get Al Tanai. V'niskayim a tanai, and the tanai was fulfilled. Albeit, afal pishe machmas ones niskayim, it was fulfilled out of an ones. Harehu get. Ula fuke, says the Ritva, to exclude, im lo niskayim a tanai, afal pishe machmas ones lo niskayim. Instead of fulfilling it by ones, he didn't fulfill it because of an ones. He's supposed to come. He didn't fulfill it. He didn't come because of the onus. Ain't I get in that case? Why? The sof lo niskayim atanai. The zebar. Meaning, onus is kaman, perhaps, de lo avid. But onus is not kaman de avid. Right? Presumably. Now, he says Zabarur. It is Barur if this is all about the formality of Maisa Ba'onis. If it's about Umdana, it's not Barur at all. Moreover, it really wasn't Barur, according to the Ran, and to a whole bunch of other Rishonim too. This exact case, I'm just going to read the first line of the next piece, the Ran in Kedushin quotes the Rishalmi, Ule'ini Mekadesh Al-Tanai, he's Mekadesh, a woman Al-Tanai, Velo kiyamatnai, and he didn't fulfill the tnai because of an onus. Exactly what we're talking about. Right? He said, in basi hareat mukudeshes, if I show up to the chapel on time, the kiddusha will be cha. Okay? Or if I show up somewhere on time, the kiddusha is cha. And he doesn't show up, in other words, nenas velo kiyamatnai. Matsasi shenechuku babi Yerushalmi, the pirkin. Rabbi Avol b'shem Rabbi Yochanan Sider Asimpun Kachu on a Palon Bar Palon, right? Ploni Bar Ploni Mekadish Loch and Plonis Baras Plon, right? The daughter of X Amanas Litein Loch Mekamas Palon, and the condition that I give you before this time, Klomar Mamon Ploni Shenikra Yukum Shemamid Adam Al Raglav. Good Vachsinech Liom Plon, and I'm also going to marry you by day number X. If the day comes and I'm not there, lo yehav elach klum. And then what happens? He doesn't show up to complete, therefore he does not complete the Tanai because of an onus. Stop. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Unsa Kemanda Lo Avid. Right? Rabbi Yochanan says, listen, it's true that it's because of an onus that he didn't show up, but at the end of the day, there's no Kiyama Tanai. He didn't fulfill the Tanai because of an onus. Does not mean that he fulfilled it. That's Rabbi Yochanan. And Reish Lakish Amar Onsa Keman Da'avid. No. It's as if he did it, even though he didn't do it. We need to understand Reish Lakish. But as we'll see. But the Tanai he didn't do. That it was all unconditioned, but there was no Kiyama Tanai. So in this particular Yerushalmi, he says, you can keep the money. That's what he said. He said, Lo yehi li alach klum. He said, if it doesn't work out, keep the jewelry. Okay, so we'll discuss more of this next week. And...